the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you have ever received a phone call in the middle of the night, you know it's probably not good news. One such call came to my house when I was young, and I could tell that it was serious by the tone of my mother's voice. It was a hospital emergency room in Connecticut where my father was on business travel. There was an automobile accident, and his injuries were critical. Springing to action, we didn't really have time to think, and so we gathered our things to travel. It was nothing short of a miracle that my dad made it through the night and we were able to get to the hospital in time. Only in the quiet of the ICU waiting room did the anxiety start to creep in. Nothing made sense to me that night. My whole world had been turned upside down. The man who I had seen as a pillar of strength was now laying vulnerable and weak, clinging to life. As I watched the arduous work of recovery over the next several months, I grew up a little. I learned, just by witnessing my mother's love of my father, how love can heal the most brokenness, and how our challenges can bless us with a rare glimpse of what's really important in life. In the gospel this morning, Jesus gave his disciples that rare glimpse. For a second time, he predicted his death and resurrection to prepare his friends for the coming days. They didn't understand it when he taught them before that to save their life, they would have to lose it. And they certainly didn't get it when he said, "In order to be first, you must be last and servant of all." Teaching these upside-down values of the kingdom, he was trying to reset their priorities, and it was met with fear and confusion. What seemed important to the disciples at that time could be found in their argument about who was the greatest. Jesus asked his followers to imagine that abundant life could come and be offered by not power, but vulnerability. That one could attain abundant life not through our accomplishments, but through service. He took a little child and lifted that child up and said, "Whoever welcomes one such child welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." Now, this was a radical teaching in a culture that was everything about status and position. Imperial politics favored those with privilege. And so it started with the political leaders, and then the religious leaders and the educated, and then the rich, and then the working class. And below the working class was women. And at the very bottom of the heap were children. For Jesus to lift up one so lowly and so humble was to confront the values of his day and to assure his persecution by the authorities. The disciples would soon witness a miracle of love that would change their perspective and their priorities. Love would overcome suffering and death and have the final word. So today we have the benefit of history, of seeing how God works through time in our events of life. And yet we're still distracted by our culture's values. We're just as likely to be pulled asunder by wealth and achievements and accomplishments and climbing the ladder. And our culture looks at humility as weakness and servanthood as total vulnerability. And so we like to be in control, have self-determination, be able to be the masters of our destiny. And this focuses our attention inward. And we often miss then the needs of those out in the world. I read once a study was done at a seminary on the subject of compassion. There was a famous speaker who was going to give a lecture on the Good Samaritan. And so on the way to the lecture hall was placed a man who appeared to be homeless and helpless and maybe even ill. And several students actually didn't even notice him on their way to the lecture, just buzzing by to get there on time. And some of them even stepped over the man as he lay on the sidewalk. The study concluded that our frenetic pace and our attention and priorities to the business of our own lives can profoundly affect our ability to be compassionate to other people. We often miss the opportunities to be someone else's small miracle. I think the hardest part, though, of Christ's teaching this morning is that for us as Christians, we're not promised that we're going to have a hardship-free life or we're going to have no trouble at all. We're only promised that Christ has gone before us and will walk with us. Perhaps we're being prepared to walk with other people. We cling to whatever makes us feel secure and in control. But to live kingdom values means we have to trust enough to be able to give love away, knowing that Christ will fill us with more. Christ's example shows us that God has the desire to redeem our suffering, to use whatever struggles we have experienced for good. This realization came to me some 30 years later as I found myself serving as a priest at that very same hospital where my father almost died. When I stepped into the doors to make my first pastoral call there, I was flooded with memories. There were recollections of the fear and anguish that I felt, but also of God's strong presence walking with my family in that terrible time. Now I was being called to be that presence for someone else weak and vulnerable. Opportunities to give and receive love are before us every single day. Our perspective and priorities make all the difference as to whether we notice or even respond. This year at Holy Cross, we're making an intentional effort to focus in on spiritual growth, to strengthen our connection to God's kingdom values. And this will naturally broaden our reach to the world. I ask you to consider joining us in this commitment to fulfill the mission of this parish and do God's good work in the world. What is it that you value? And how does this impact what you notice or to what you respond? Wherever you are on your journey of faith, take one step in growth. One step in engagement in this parish and in outreach to the world. God will bless us with challenges and with miracles. so that we can be a blessing to those in need. Amen.